Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, we're in a series called Living for Eternity, and this session is entitled The Ages to Come. And what we're doing in this series, the reason we're doing it, is there's so much Bible that is about the age and ages to come, and it was put in there in order to awaken our imagination, in order to cause our spirits to come alive about the truth that we're going to live forever, and we're going to actually be living, doing real things forever. That you don't die when you die. You just change places. That you are going to live forever, and that the focus of the Word of God is actually that we would live our lives in this present life, in this present age, as though we're going to live forever, as though the end isn't when we take that last breath here on earth, that there are actually ages to come. And the motivation of the Scripture is actually aiming at the believer to kind of like place ourselves in the age to come and ages to come, that we would be living for eternity and not living merely for this age and this life. And as we do, we find ourselves living a lot more freely in this life, a lot less concerned about things that don't matter, a lot more concerned about things that do. It's a powerful way for us to live, and it's actually the way that Jesus consistently tried to motivate his disciples. The entire New Testament and the Gospels and all those red letters, Jesus over and over talked about heaven, eternity, forever, the way that life will look when he comes back. He was constantly referencing that because our gospel isn't just that Jesus came as a baby, lived sinless, and died for our sins. It's that he's coming back. That is part of the gospel. Jesus Christ is coming back. Coming back to do what? Coming back why? Coming back for how long? Coming back to rule and reign forever, a real life that we will be part of. And as we anchor ourselves in that, we begin to live a little differently. We begin to process life differently. We no longer live like the lost, because now we're thinking about eternity and our future in Christ and what the Lord has for us. Well, here's what I want to encourage us with. As we looked in our last session, we talked about ages past, just talking about what in the world that even means, that God has been doing things for ages past, the Word says. And then describe this current age as a very important and unique one that we're living in that's in preparation for the next one. And that next one is called the millennium. And we're going to spend a session or two talking about the millennium. But before we do that, today's session, I want to focus on the ages that come after the millennium, because there's just ages after ages after ages. This just goes on forever. And the more that we can root ourselves in that forever and break forever down into imaginable chunks of time, the Word actually says that we get something in our heart. We get eternity brooding in our hearts, and it allows us to begin to live for the reality of forever and not just for this current age. So just to kind of jumpstart things, Isaiah 45, verse 17 just says this: Israel will be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation, everlasting, forever. You will never be put to shame or disgraced, to ages everlasting. This is just the most remarkable thought. Not even just time everlasting, ages everlasting. There's an age, and then after that, there's another age, and after that, there's another age. And each of these ages is like ridiculously long. And they never end. Ages everlasting, an everlasting salvation. That concept of ages everlasting has power on our hearts if we'll allow it to. Well, what do those ages include? What is life going to, what is kind of the general take on those ages? Ephesians 2, 6 through 7 says this: God raised us up with Christ and he seated with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages, so now we're going to be talking about those ages to come, how many of them are there? Everlasting, they go on forever. In those everlasting ages, that during that period of time, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. This means that the incomparable riches of his grace This thing that is unfathomable, it's incomparable. We've not yet even experienced hardly diddly squat. That the true riches, the richest of riches, are actually to be revealed in future ages. So life actually will keep getting better. There are going to be continued incomparable realities about who he is, what he's like. Our life will keep getting better and better. Amy and I, sometimes we look at each other and we're just like, man, we are so blessed. This is just a crazy season. We've got beautiful kids. Our life is good. We're healthy. This is just a crazy, crazy time. And things are the worst that they'll ever be right now. Because for future ages, he will continue to reveal incomparable riches of his glory and grace. He will continue to wow us with each surpassing age. Guys, I don't know about you. Sometimes what gets me through a hard day is knowing that Friday is coming. You know, it's like everybody's working for the weekend. It's like whenever you're in one of those moments where things are a little bit tough, it's sometimes helpful to picture and be excited about that moment that you know is coming, that person you're going to get to see, that delicious Italian meal you'll get to eat. We kind of picture those future moments and we enjoy, we draw from them even though we haven't entered into them yet. We have an eternity of better Italian meals than my mama cooks. We have an eternity of riches of his glory and grace. We have an eternity of ever-increasing, incredible realities, incomparable riches of his grace. And that it will just keep getting better and better. Now, if that statement is true, and we know it is, then it behooves us to peer into what the Word of God says about these glories, these realities, the ages to come, because it's true and real and your future. This is for real going to happen. Why is it in the Bible if it's not to be explored and understood and have it awaken our souls? That our souls would come alive and go, incomparable riches of his grace, increasingly revealed and increasingly experienced as the ages that are everlasting continue to unfold. It just keeps on getting better. Yeah, I'm just so excited about what the Lord is going to do. And I want to tell you that there is power in rooting ourselves, in setting our hearts in eternity and not in temporal things. It is so much more powerful when our life source, when our strength, when our joy, when our prospect of what the future holds is rooted in these eternal things that the Lord says he wants to give us. I also want to just continue to stress, you'll probably hear me say it in every session, because I really want us to understand this. It's real years, real life, doing real things. You're not floating around on a cloud and told to be happy, and so you'll be happy because you're supposed to be. You'll be happy because cool stuff happened yesterday, and you'll have an understanding of time. You'll know what yesterday is today, and you'll know what tomorrow is. You'll be doing real things, walking, touching. You'll be doing stuff, real life stuff. You're not just some disembodied spirit floating around out there. You're going to get a resurrected body, and the reason you're going to get the resurrected body is so that you can experience resurrected things that you have no idea what they are right now. Right now, you don't need a resurrected body, but you will. Why? So that you can experience the incomparable riches of his grace that we have not yet even begun to understand. We're only at the beginning here, people. We're at the very beginning of time, of the journey. And what's going to happen here in the coming millennia, in the coming thousands of years and ages that come, the Lord is going to continue to reveal himself. He's going to continue to show himself to us. And I want us to be thinking about, we're still at the very early side of life and of existence and of the human experience. Well, let's look at some of the events that the Word talks about that are going to happen after the millennium. Now, remember, I want to just give you a little timeline here. We're in an age right now. Jesus is going to come back. When he comes back, he's going to transition the age. And then that age is going to start a 1,000-year reign of Jesus on the planet. And that's just the beginning of the future ages that follow. Well, we're going to look at now, just because we're going to spend some weeks on the millennium, We're going to look now at after the millennium because there's not that much written about it. We don't know that much about the ages that follow after the millennium, but we do know some, and every one of those verses has great value, and we want to make sure that we understand as best as we can. So I'm going to look just at a few points here. And if you're interested in any of this, email me and I'll send you more. I'm going to skip over a lot of the notes here just because time. But there's a ton of stuff that's going to happen after the millennium. Let's look at the great white throne of judgment, okay? Revelation 20, 11 through 15. Skipping around in the notes a little bit. Cherish if you're following. Revelation 20, 11 through 15, the great white throne of judgment. Now, this happens after the thousand-year reign, okay? This is a profound moment. Now, really the reason I want you to see this is mostly so that you can just get, like, the picture of the realness of this. I want you to feel this moment as a reality that's going to actually happen on a Tuesday or Wednesday. Whatever day it happens on, it's going to happen on a day that ends in day. Okay, it's a real day. This is actually going to occur after the thousand-year reign. The Lord actually gives us detailed information of events, things, moments, trends that will transpire after the thousand-year reign of Jesus. That is so profound that we'd be given that. I just want to take a little sidestep for a moment. Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, lived the Gospels. He said a bunch of stuff. And 1/1,000,000,000th of what he said got written down in the Bible, right? I mean, most of what he said did not get recorded. All right, so we got it recorded, just a little bit of it. Jesus is going to keep talking. When Jesus talks, you could call it Bible, okay? So while we know about an Old Testament and a New Testament, how many more testaments will there be under the leadership of Jesus talking? He will have lots more things to say that will continue to wow us, confound us, and continue to connect and relate 100% to what is already written in the Word. It won't have any conflict at all. He's God. He's been planning this a very long time. I just want us to understand, like, there is so much more coming. So much more awaits us than what has been before. The great white throne of judgment. Look at this, Revelation 20, 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence. That's never happened before. There's never been a time where the earth and the heavens fled from the presence of the Lord. And there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life, was thrown into the lake of fire. There's this future God being judge moment, that in that moment, there's going to be, again, end of the thousand-year reign of Jesus. There's going to be this profound moment. It's going to be a moment that everybody is going to be, well, everybody on the right side of things, is going to be looking forward to. Ooh, at the end of the thousand years, we get to do the throne judgment thing. It's going to be awesome. We're going to be talking about it. There's going to be coffee appointments over it, I guarantee you. There's going to be conversations about this great white throne of judgment, this moment where God shows himself as judge one more time and transitions the age. This is another age transition moment, is when the Father sits on the throne at the end of the thousand years and he transitions the age into the next one. Another thing that's going to happen at that time is God is going to make his dwelling with man. That doesn't actually happen in the fullest sense during the millennium. It happens after. Look at this. This is Revelation 21, 3 through 4. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them." Let me just make a kind of a no-duh point. There's no reason to say this if it was already true. There's no reason to write it. There's no reason to have it written or be read if it was already a reality. But he says, now God has made his dwelling among them, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. There is an old order that lasts all the way through the millennium. And at the end of the millennium, it passes away, an old order. And now part of the old order is God does not dwell on the planet with humans because his presence would kill us all. But at the end of the millennium, he will dwell on the earth with man. This is so crazy. We're going to, God, the Father, the fullness, he's going to be on the earth. And people are going to know him. He says he's going to be their God and they're going to be his people. And this is going to be a new order, a new way about things. Guys, there is no end to God's creativity on how he can transition an age and make the next one different than the previous ones. There's no end of him being able to say, and now the old order is over. Well, but you just invented that order ages ago. Yep, and now it's old, making a new order. There's no end to his creativity. The ages to come are exhilarating. There is no end to what the Lord has in store for us. How about heaven coming to rest on the earth? If that's not an idea you've ever heard of before, heaven is actually going, it's a real city. Heaven is not just clouds and it's out there somewhere, but it's not real. It's very real. It has physical dimensions. We'll spend some time on that in a later session. Heaven is actually, we're told exactly how big and the shape and the way that it's laid out. We're told exactly what that city is like. Heaven is a very real place. It's a very real place that is currently not on earth. And it's going to come and be on earth. Heaven on earth for real. That is the most bizarre thought process for us. We've never experienced an age where heaven is on earth because there's never been one. But there's going to be. Look at this. I saw the holy city. This is Revelation 21:2. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. That's heaven. Coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. It's describing the descent of heaven out of the sky to the earth. What? These are like no eye has seen, no mind has conceived kind of stuff. That heaven is actually going to be on the earth. We have no frame of reference. He says, yeah, incomparable riches of his glory. You have nothing to compare these things to. And this is just the beginning. Whatever crazy cool things God does at the beginning, it's just getting started. He's got endless ages to shock and awe us. Listen, we need to stop trying to scare lost people out of hell and start trying to wow them into heaven. Start trying to wow them into the ages to come. It's like, bro, what are you doing? Stop being lost. Give your life to Jesus. It's way better, I promise. No, man, I want to do my thing. No, you're going to die and burn in hell forever. That's a terrible plan. Don't do that anymore. Live with me in ages everlasting. Let me tell you a little bit about them. Let me tell you a little bit about what the prospect is for those that love Jesus, the way that we just read it, those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. No, this is like so much better. We're not talking about a good day or a bad day. We're talking about the worst thing ever versus incomparable riches of his glory that just keep getting better. It's unbelievable, the promise that we have. I don't have time to go into it, but I just want to advertise for those of you who like to study all the Bible verses that talk about the future of natural things on the planet. The future of them. Things that are going to actually happen in the future. The future of the sea and what the Lord's going to do with it. The future of the mountains. The future of the sun and the moon. The future of the heavens. The future of nations. There are so many Bible verses in your Bible, you don't have to find a different one, that are about the destiny of nations in ages to come. Ages. Meaning those nations have to still exist. Because you can't have a destiny if you don't exist anymore. Okay? That's a non-existent-y. You got to be, to have a destiny, you got to exist. And there are, I mean, when I say there's tons, I'm talking like probably 80 passages or something that describe the destiny of nations that are related to the future ages in your Bible. There's tons of these. Why? Because the Lord wants us to understand life really continues on forever. Nations do. The concept of nations and languages and tribes and tongues. We're not all, when you know heaven comes, when Jesus returns, we're not all going to just kind of all annex into one tribe and one nation and one language. He created all those on purpose. He likes them. He likes the distinction. I think he likes the different flavors of food. You know, there's something about Latino food that's very, very different than Italian, and I like them both. And I think Jesus gave me those taste buds. That the Lord has got plan and purpose. There are nations that are written about in your Bible that there's destiny of in the future ages. I think it's to help make it more concrete for us. Here's a good one. 1 Corinthians 15:25. Remember, we're talking about ages to come. 1 Corinthians 15:25. Jesus, he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Now, he has not yet begun to reign. He will start reigning during the millennial reign, during the thousand-year reign of Jesus, the millennium. That's when he starts reigning. He's going to spend the 1,000 years putting all of his enemies under his feet. I don't want to talk about the process. I want to talk about the aftermath. What about a version of life where every enemy has been placed under the feet of Jesus, where there's no longer any enemies? Like, hey, have you found any? Nope, he got the last one last week, like a dog catcher. He got that thing. He put the last enemy under his feet. Well, I guess we must be ready for another age. Yep, bring on the great white throne of judgment. Let's transition this thing. Let the old order die. Jesus is going to place all of his enemies under his feet. He's going to transition into the next age. Another point I want us to connect here is Matthew 28, 19 through 20. We're familiar with this Bible passage, but I don't know how often we think of it in reference to the ages to come. Matthew 28, 19 through 20, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Well, just even going back to that idea of Jesus saying more words, what if in the next age, during the millennial reign, what if he says more words? You could call those commands. There's going to be no end to the commands of the Lord. There's going to be no end to the discipleship going forth of the nations from now until forever. There's going to be a constant growth of the Great Commission. It's not just about getting people saved. That's the beginning point. Because you can't make a disciple until they've given their life to the Lord. But giving a life to the Lord does not mean they're fully discipled and they're obeying everything Jesus has taught. It's just the beginning. Teaching the commands of Jesus and people embracing the purposes and the ways of the Lord, this is going to be a forever part of the future. 1 Corinthians 2:9 tells us, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind has conceived the things God has prepared for those who love him. There are wild, unimaginable things that God has prepared for those who love him. I like to think about this sometimes, especially when I'm in one of those funks, when I'm in one of those moments where things are just not all that awesome at the moment. Like, okay, you have things awaiting me. My brain isn't smart enough to even think up yet. My eyes have never seen anything like it before. I just imagine, like, think of, if you can remember, if you're familiar with the four living creatures in Revelation 4 and 5, if you're kind of familiar with that, think about the first time you read that. And you're looking at these things and like, they got eyes in their armpits. Like, what am I looking at? This is a very interesting thing. You would never have conceived such a thing had you not read it in the Bible. God has not told us anything, hardly. He has so many secrets he's held back. He's got so many things in heaven we have no idea about. He's got so many plans in his heart he has never revealed. He says, listen, I have given you little glimpses, and even the glimpses, you can't even possibly make the jump from what I've revealed to you to that which I have not revealed to you yet. You can't even imagine. Imagine what? The things that God has prepared for those who love him. I love him. I know you do too. And of those of you who don't yet, I'm telling you, stop it. Love Jesus. It's way better. Be with him forever. Give your life to Jesus. He is jealously after you. He has an eternity prepared for those who love him. Those who love him will experience all these things. Give yourself to the Lord. Stop fighting. But for those of us who do, there are beautiful things, unbelievable, inexpressible things that are prepared for us. I think as we believe that truth and take it to heart, it can really fuel us in this age. It's the reason it was written. One of the things that's going to happen, Revelation 21, 1 and then verse 5 kind of tells the story, is he's going to make everything new. Make everything new. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. He was seated on the throne and said, I am making everything new. He said to them, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He's going to make everything new. I just think about how different of a person I am since I gave my life to the Lord. I've been working this last week on kind of writing out some of my testimony. It's been really kind of fun. Had some sweet moments with the Lord in the prayer room doing it. And I'm just thinking about what a horrible human being I was. I was human, but barely. Man, I was a monster. It was like, dang, you were horrible. You were a really, really bad egg. And then just thinking about, man, I gave my life to the Lord, and he changed me. He changed my thoughts and my desires, and he made me nicer. I mean, he's like, Lord, you're the best. And while I'm still me, and somebody that knew me when I was lost would be able to say, yeah, you know, 5'8", and looks like you gained a little weight, but that's still Brad. They'd be able to look at me and identify that that's me. I am a new creation. And so, yes, I still take up the same, you know, relative amount of space, and my voice sounds similar, but I'm a new creation. The Lord is going to make all things new. He's going to take everything, not just the lost becoming saved and they become a new creation. He's going to do that to the planet. He's going to do that to heaven. He's going to do that to the universe. He's going to make it all new. He doesn't get rid of it, because we know by all those verses that I was, advertising to you about the destiny of the nations, those nations still exist, so they can't be done away with. There's too many verses about the planet still existing and all that, so it doesn't get done away with, but it gets newed. God comes in and makes it new. He comes in and he makes it what it was. He makes it something new. 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 12. Perfect peace. Really, the imperfect disappearing. We've never experienced anything like this. There are future ages coming in your life that you're going to experience where you will walk in moments, walk in seasons where imperfection has been done away with. I am so looking forward to that as I find all the weaknesses and imperfections in myself, and sometimes, if I'm honest, also in you. And I can't wait for it to be gone. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. Look what this says. Love never fails, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. We see now, but a poor reflection as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Imperfect disappearing. Imperfect thoughts, imperfect memories, imperfect life, imperfect desires, imperfect experiences, imperfect landscapes. Man, I'm grateful for Texas, but there's a couple places that need to be renewed by the Lord. There's just a couple places that need a little bit of a facelift on the landscape. Imperfection disappearing. Imperfection going. We have no idea what it's like to live in an hour where the imperfect has been removed. That's our future. There are future ages, and it just keeps getting better. We're constantly going to be shocked. We're going to look at the Lord and go, how did you come up with that? That's even cooler than the last age. He's going to go, I got a million of them. Just hang out with me a little longer. You'll see. There is never going to be an end to the unbelievable realities for that he has prepared for those who love him. 2 Corinthians 3:18. You know, a lot of these are Paul. I don't know if you paid attention to the trend there. A lot of these verses are the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, in my opinion, outside of Jesus, had the greatest level of clarity about the ages to come, about eternity, about what it means to live forever than anybody else in the Bible. I would say even more than John the Beloved, who had the book of Revelation experience. I mean, Paul wrote things that you're like, dude, you've been chewing on that one for a while. You've got some clarity on that. You understand what you're talking about. You've been staring into eternity. You've got some revelation that's operating in you so that you're just writing a letter to the church of Ephesus or the church of the Colossians or whoever, and all of a sudden, all this eternity talk is just popping out of your mouth. It wasn't like he planned it. It was just coming out of him. It was an overflow. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. He's got an abundance of revelation about eternity in his heart. He's operating out of it. So then he apostles out of it. He writes out of it. He leads out of it. Look what he says, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Check this out. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. Ever-increasing, meaning whatever distance we make between when you got saved, when you were lost in a hot mess, and you've given your life to the Lord, and now you've seen the Lord do lots of increased glory in you. There's lots of that old man gone. There's lots of new things in you, gifts of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit, things that you're able to overcome that you weren't before. And we look at it and go, well, I'm watching ever-increasing glory happen kind of as the years tick on. I'm watching it happen now. He says, it goes on forever. Ever-increasing glory. So in 1,000 years, in 10,000 years, in 100,000 years, in 1,000,000 years, the glory keeps getting bigger and better and more incredible. We're going to like each other even more. I'm going to look at you and go, you are glorious. What did you do? I've just been hanging out with Jesus. How long? Well, I don't want to brag, but a couple million years. Cool. So that couple million years looks good on you. You're doing good. This is ever-increasing glory. Ever. It never stops. This is the thing about God. He's eternal, and all his ways are eternal. Ever-increasing glory. Look at this. The whole earth will be filled with his glory. That's never happened before. Not like this is talking about. Psalm 72, verse 19, then also Habakkuk 2:14. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. The whole earth. I want you to think about that moment where the glory fell in the temple and the priest couldn't get up off the floor. If you're not familiar with that story, it happened. The glory of the Lord fell in the temple. All the priests, they're trying to minister, and all the, they're down on the ground. And they can't get up, and they'd like to. They would very much like to get up off the floor, and they are unable because the glory of the Lord filled the room in a way that they could feel the weight of his presence, thickness. They could see it, feel it, probably smell it. The whole earth being filled with the glory of the Lord like that. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Not just his physical presence, but the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Understanding how to relate to his glory and interact with his glory. Can you imagine a season of time where everybody that's walking around on the earth, it's not a conversation about, oh, what's bad in the news or what disease are we trying to avoid now? The conversation is the glory of God. It's in the media. It's made it in all the social media networks. The glory of God being talked about, fellowship, sharing ideas about the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, that being the preeminent conversation on the planet. I just can't wait. That's so much better than the junk trash we have to talk about now. That is so much better version of a life. He's like, I put it in the Bible so that you could imagine yourself there. So that you could begin to believe for these things even now in this age. I'm going to end with this. This is a Bible verse that came alive to me this past week in a way that I wasn't thinking about it before. But just in this whole context of eternity, in this context of glory increasing and the revelation of God and the ages to come, John 16, 12 through 15 says this. This is Jesus. He's on the tail end of his ministry. He's talking to his guys. He says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, talking about the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He'll speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because he is from me. That he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I have said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. So let me just kind of decode this a little bit. This is Jesus. He's making it really clear. He says, there's a lot more I want you to know and understand about life, about me, about God, about you. There's a lot more I want you to understand. You actually don't have the capacity to hear it. There is so much I'd like to tell you, but if I said it, it would sound like it was in a foreign language. You wouldn't be able to hear it. You would have absolutely no revelation of what I'm trying to communicate to you. He says, you actually can't bear it. There is so much I want to tell you. Now, every time I'd read that passage before, for some reason, I was always thinking like, much more than you can bear. And I was always just thinking like, oh, he's trying to like keep back some of the secrets about how painful his gruesome death is about to be or something. I don't know. That's just kind of how I'd always pictured it, probably wrongly. But just because I was thinking about that concept of more than you can bear, like you're not strong enough, this would kill you, this would break you. But I think that that's not actually what he's communicating. I think what he's saying is you don't have the human capacity to actually process the truths I want to tell you. He says, I'm going to go and the Holy Spirit's going to come and the Holy Spirit is going to reveal to you those truths. But here's the part that struck me this week. The Holy Spirit is going to reveal to us those truths a little bit at a time, forever. Not all in this age, surely not. Not all before we die. I was thinking about this. What about when we get a resurrected body, a resurrected spirit, and we still have the Holy Spirit? He didn't go anywhere. And now as a resurrected man with the Holy Spirit, now he can reveal to me things I could not bear before in my weak state. There is so much glory coming that he wants to reveal to us. He says, I've got so many details. So I'm going to read it again. Now read it with that lens, okay? I have much, much, much more to say to you. More than you can bear. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And I'm going to put in there, he will continue to guide you into all truth. And he is not going to speak on his own. He'll speak only what he hears from the Father. Part of the reason that that's important, there are things that the Lord has told me this week that he did not tell me 10 years ago because it wasn't time. The Holy Spirit speaks according to time, not just according to righteousness. He speaks according to time. There are things that it's important that we don't know yet. It's better. Better that we don't know yet. So when the Holy Spirit speaks, he's only speaking what the Father tells him to say right then. There's a timing issue. And so he'll speak only what he hears, and he will tell you the future. He will tell you what is yet to come. See, we're going to have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We're going to have a resurrected body, a resurrected spirit, resurrected mind. We're going to be living forever. And the Holy Spirit and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is only going to get better and sweeter and more awesome. And he's going to continue to reveal to us the things that are yet to come. What did we sign up for? This is awesome. This is our life. Worship team, you can come on up. This is the way it's going to go. You're going to live for ages to come. There's no end. Ages, and they keep getting better, and the Holy Spirit keeps saying stuff, and God's glory keeps increasing, and our experience of him continues to grow. Friends, we have such a rich future, such a rich inheritance. And as we continue in this series, my hope in today's message was to just to get us to engage in the content as we continue to talk about eternity and what it looks like to long for eternity. There is so much he wants to do in us to empower us for those coming ages.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.